Stories from a Hard Place is an anthology podcast. Every Thursday, R.A. Jacobson presents another story from a hard place, written and read by R.A. Jacobson. Stories of moonshine and shotguns, obsession and transcendence, love and darkness, and the blindness of human desire. Each tale follows a painful path to one ultimate realization. The devil's deal always ends badly. Listener discretion is advised, contains strong language, violence, and some adult situations. Red Wing, from A Single Round, a collection of stories from a hard place. Her pale fingers dragged in the water. They left little trails. Little bubbles bobbed. Little eddies swirled around her fingertips. Her fingers pushed up small swells as though the water was thick. Maybe it was. The water was cold, very cold. Ice still clung to the bases of some willow trees and reeds. It may be very close to freezing. The water was cold and very clear for the first few inches. Then it turned to the color of strong tea. It stained everything below with a rusty edge, darkening quickly, so the bottom was lost in a brown-black depth. Her sisters paddled, so she could lay her head on her outstretched arm and watch the water go by. A red-winged blackbird called. The reeds scraped against each other, a dry sandpaper sound. A light wind stirred the dry, yellow-brown grasses. Below the surface was a lattice of light brown dead reeds from last summer, woven in an intricate pattern. Here and there, the uniform yellow-brown was interrupted by a hint of green. Through the tea, the green had a rich intensity, as though it held the power to bring on spring. It was the herald of spring. She watched as a string of bubbles drifted up from the bottom. In a week or so, this water will be crawling with the squirming, many-legged things that would become many-legged other things that flew, that buzzed, and sometimes bit. Most were gray-brown, sometimes spotted with black or white. Occasionally, a tiny fleck of bright red would race across a leaf or the mud at the bottom. She loved this flash of brilliant red in a muddy world, a mite or something like that. It always felt like a surprise or a gift. She anticipated the sight of them every February, when winter seemed to have settled in and would never leave, when spring seemed so far off it may never come. She would imagine that quick flash of red. Her sister's paddle left small vortices that slid past her fingers, stirring up bits of leaves and plant detritus. Her strokes were quiet, slow, rhythmic. She was like all of them, experienced canoeists. Ever since they were small, they had canoed as a family. There had always been six of them. Three to a canoe. They would drag the canoes from the garage as soon as the ice left the water. It was a family tradition. She looked up when her sister stopped paddling. Her paddle made a deep thump that she felt more than heard. Now both sisters had stopped paddling. She sat up and looked where they were looking. Off in the dry cactails, a red wing perched on a tall, dry reed. It bent under its weight, bobbing slightly. Its quick eyes flitted as it watched them. Its black body shimmered with highlights of dark blue, but it was the shoulder that excited her. It was a bright, unreal red. It was too special to be here. It didn't belong in this marsh, this slough of mud-gray light. She looked up at her sister's back, Betty's back. Red hair and pale skin, almost doll-like. She was slight. She looked like her sisters, like herself. She had a quick smile that rarely touched her eyes. It was as if the knowledge they carried kept happiness at arm's length. This day was not a happy day. This was their father's last canoe ride. He rode in the other canoe with his mom and his other sister, Cheryl. She had been surprised when her mom brought him out in his little pale green cardboard box. She was surprised how small it was, how very small a whole man could end up to be. She had thought how big he was, how loud and big, how he'd fill up most every room he stepped into. He would own the very air that surrounded him. He hadn't been a serious man, not a man of high ideas, or even an important man. He was your friend. He was, had been, everyone's friend. She looked across the water at the other canoe that hailed him now. Veronica and her mum had stopped paddling. They drifted smoothly as they looked at the blackbird. The quiet water reflected them perfectly. Veronica watched her mum. She was so still. She was so quiet. It was unnerving. She sat, her paddle in front, and watched the Red Wing. She had stopped everything. She just sat staring at the wall, or watched her daughters move about the house. She seemed lost, but Veronica supposed that could be expected. She couldn't imagine what she was thinking, what she was feeling, what it must be like to lose him, to lose her husband, after so much time. He hadn't been the nicest man. He seemed always angry, on the brink of an explosion. He rarely blew up, but the potential was there, lurking in his eyes, in the set of his jaw, or the tension around his lips. Even when he was joking at the breakfast table with her sisters, it was there, in the corners of his eyes, a hardness she never understood. Generally, he was kind to them, not really becoming a father when they were born. Not mean, just not there, not interested. The girls had talked about it many times. They each had a theory, but they didn't know, not really. They had even got up the courage to ask their mom. She smiled and shook her head slightly. "It's not his fault," she said, and nothing more. Veronica watched her mom, then looked up at her sister at the bow of the canoe. She was watching their mom as well. She looked back at Veronica. Being one of quadruplets, they often shared thoughts. Veronica knew what her sister, all of her sisters, were thinking. They had decided before they left the house. They had decided without talking. They knew because it was their idea. They knew how sad their mum was. She was heartbroken. They knew their mum's marriage wasn't great. It had been strained before the sisters had come along. It got worse afterwards. It was late in the afternoon when the two officers knocked on the door. Ginger answered the door. As soon as she saw the officers, all the sisters came from all points in the house. They could feel the trouble. Together they called their mum. The cops stood in the door, hats in their hands, with sober looks on their faces. But there was something else. The sisters saw it. It sat in the corners of their eyes and at the edges of their mouths. Veronica watched the cops. The man glanced back at the woman. She looked up. Did she fight back a grin? Her eyes had lit up for sure. Was she laughing inside? When the male cop turned back around, he was suppressing a smile. Veronica was sure. The sisters looked at her, then to the cops. What the fuck was going on? Their mother came walking slowly forward. She looked at her daughters with a question in her eyes. She was scared. Her eyes were already tearing up. She dropped her head and stepped forward and looked at the male cop. "Miss Laverne Forrester?" he asked. "Yes." Her voice was small, shaky, and scared. "Miss Forrester, we are here to inform you that earlier today, your husband, Bruce Forrester, was killed as he attempted to steal a car." "Did you shoot him?" "No, ma'am. He succumbed to an accidental gunshot." The cop nearly started giggling as he spoke. "He was deceased when we arrived." "I don't understand." "It appears he was attempting to smash the glass of the driver's side window with the butt of his shotgun when it went off." The cop was enjoying telling the story. It was a story he was going to tell a lot. I don't... their mother started, then swayed. The sisters rushed in to catch her as her knees gave. The cop's smile vanished. He stepped forward to help catch her, but stopped. "It's okay, we have her," Veronica said, looking at the cop. After several minutes, the cops finally left. The next week was hard. Their mother was either crying or walking around numb. She hid in her room most of the time. The sisters brought her food and tea that she mostly refused. After the funeral, the house remained quiet. The sisters did what they could. They sat in the front room and waited. They cooked and cleaned and looked after things. They waited. They put their father's ashes on a table beside the TV. When the weather warmed enough in early April, they agreed it was time. They pulled the canoes down from the rafters in the garage. They prepared. They talked to their mom, and she agreed. It was a good idea. He would like that. He always loved the spring canoe trip. She smiled at her daughters when they told her. They were good girls. The Red Wing called again. The sisters looked at each other. Was it time? Veronica looked to Alice, then to Cheryl, then to Betty. They looked back. It was time. "My girls," her mother said. "He was a good man. I know you never got to see that in him. But he was a good man. He wanted a family so much. And we tried for so many years." She held the urn in her arms. "So very many years." She looked up at the girls. They brought the two canoes beside one another, and the sisters held them together. "I'm sorry. I couldn't think of anything else to do." Their mom looked back at the urn. "I wanted a family, too. I wanted children more than anything." The sisters looked at each other. "I know you hated the idea, but it was the only way. The only way." Their mother spoke to the urn and then looked across the water. She looked at her daughters. "I had to. He knew, of course. Four little red-headed girls show up. Perfect little girls. You all were so small. He just couldn't get over it. He couldn't get used to you. He hated where you came from." The sisters gathered close. They leaned in and let her talk. She needed to talk. They knew. "But I needed children. So I did what I'd heard others had done. I went to the crossroads on Highway 11. And then you were waiting for me when I returned home. My perfect little gifts. And all I had to do was make a deal." "It's time," the sisters said in unison. Their mother leaned over the edge of the canoe and poured out the ashes. Some of it sank, some floated, and some was caught by a light gust of wind and was carried off into the slough. Their mother stayed watching the ash move away from them. "Bye." She touched the water. That's when the canoe tipped. Their mother and Cheryl plunged into the frigid water. The remaining sisters watched. The surface became still. A few bubbles broke the surface, then it stilled once again. Minutes passed. More minutes passed. Cheryl's head surfaced. The sisters looked at each other. They were sisters. Always had been, always would be. Cheryl climbed into the canoe. They stood and undressed. The canoe rocked. They looked at each other, identical white forms with shocking red hair. Then they arched their heads back and stretched out their arms. They blurred. Their bodies shifted, darkened, and shrunk. They vibrated violently. Then four red-winged blackbirds sat on the edge of the canoes. They looked at each other, their quick eyes flitting about. With an easy jump, they took to the air. The slough was quiet. Dry, rasping sounds, a light breeze, and far off, the sound of a red-winged blackbird.
I hope you've enjoyed Red Wing. Tune in next week for Doc's Choice, another story from a hard place. Music by Noah Zachron. Production copyright R.A. Jacobson, 2020. If you're enjoying this book and would rather not wait for each installment, consider purchasing the complete audiobook on iTunes, Audible, or wherever you purchase your audiobooks. If you'd like the book version, either ebook or print, you can find it on Amazon. You can find links to all these and much more at Dead Cat Studio. That's deadcatstud.io. Thanks for listening. Keep the shiny side up.